1 year after Hurricane Milton, some Central Floridians are still recovering. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. Some Central Floridians are still trying to recover from Hurricane Milton, which made landfall as a Category 3 storm on the state's Gulf Coast 1 year ago this week. Milton brought more than 15 inches of rain to some parts of Volusia County, wreaking havoc on local businesses and homes.
Nobody wants to see your house being destroyed in front of your eyes and you can't do anything about it.
How some residents are still trying to move forward, and what rainfall data can and can't tell us about climate change in Central Florida. Hurricane Milton's lingering impacts 1 year later. That's ahead on The Wrap, the big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these news headlines. A new lawsuit is challenging Senate Bill 180, a law that restricts local governments from being able to make changes to land use and comprehensive plans. Central Florida Public Media's Marion Summerall has more.
The bill was originally offered as a hurricane recovery measure, but was amended to restrict local government planning. 1,000 Friends of Florida, a nonprofit organization focused on smart growth, argues that part of the bill violates the Florida Constitution. They say it's vague and arbitrary and defies the constitutional rules protecting natural resources. Richard Grosso, a Brevard County lawyer, says the law prevents local governments from adapting to meet challenges like sea level rise and coastal erosion.
It's not acceptable for the state of Florida to tell local elected officials, you're not allowed to protect your landowners, your constituents, your rural residents.
The new law nullifies some recent land use changes deemed burdensome and blocks comprehensive plans like Orange County's Vision 2050. Marion Summerall, Central Florida Public Media.
The Brevard County School Board will pay attorneys for Moms for Liberty nearly $568,000 several months after a U.S. District Court ruled in their favor. This comes at the end of a four-year-long legal dispute over the district's former public comment policy. The policy banned people from making remarks directed at board members or ones that were, quote, abusive or obscene. But Moms for Liberty says these rules were applied unevenly, especially when it came to their members, restricting their First Amendment rights. The board policy has since been revised, and the settlement ends litigation brought by the conservative political organization. The Orlando Fire Department is no longer accredited by the International Commission that ensures fire departments are on track to respond to future community risk. As Central Florida Public Media's Molly Durig reports, the commission informed Orlando Fire on October 1st that the department's accreditation was being revoked.
The president of Orlando's labor union for professional firefighters says in some places, like near Universal Studios, Orlando Fire's coverage is the same as it was in the early 1990s. The department's resources and staffing haven't kept pace with the area's rapid growth. Losing the accreditation won't affect community access to fire services right away. But moving forward, without a plan for how to handle future growth, more gaps in fire services coverage could lead to longer wait times for city residents. An Orlando Fire spokesman says the department is appealing the revocation.
Central Florida Public Media's Molly Durig reporting. Chief Financial Officer Blaise Ingolia says the Florida Agency for Fiscal Oversight found millions in overspending in Seminole County government. Central Florida Public Media's Danielle Pryor has more.
The audit claims it found Seminole County overspent by $48 million. On top of that, the county raised taxes on gas and utilities and voted to approve a property tax rate increase for the first time in 16 years. The county says all of these increases were necessitated by a growing population and rising inflation.
Florida Attorney General James Uffmeyer has been endorsed by President Donald Trump in his bid to keep his job during the 2026 elections. Trump made the announcement in a social media post. Uffmeyer was appointed to the Attorney General by Governor Ron DeSantis earlier this year. He's garnered national attention for his central role in the site selection for what's known as Alligator Alcatraz, the immigration detention facility in the Everglades. Previously, he served as campaign manager during DeSantis' unsuccessful 2024 presidential bid. These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. Want to know what makes The Wrap possible? It's the people who care about local news, listeners like you. Your support fuels the journalism that keeps Central Florida informed, connected, and empowered. From City Council to Community Voices, our journalism centers on the people and issues shaping Central Florida every day. Make your gift of support today at cfpublic.org. This week marks 1 year since Hurricane Milton brought flooding to Central Florida, devastating many. And while it's been a year, some families are still struggling to recover, which for some means cutting their losses and getting out. Central Florida Public Media's environment reporter Molly Durg reports from Volusia County.
It's a mid-September day. The water flowing through Spruce Creek is lying quite low. But when heavy rains hit Volusia County, this gentle stream running through Claire Venables' backyard morphs into a terrifying sight.
When the waters start rising, they're not just sitting there stagnant, they are traveling very, very quickly.
That's what happened almost exactly 1 year ago, in the middle of the night during Hurricane Milton. Venable says she and her daughter, now a college student, almost didn't escape the floodwaters in time. When Milton hit, it was only 6 weeks after the Venables had moved back into their home after repairing damage from Hurricane Ian 2 years prior.
Ian destroyed everything, you know, $700,000 worth of damage.
That's Claire Venables' husband, Mark. The family has lived here about 15 years, but for the past few, they say it's barely felt like home.
We've been here probably maybe 4 months in the past 3 years.
For the rest of that time, they've stayed with friends and at motels while the house is under construction. It's taken a while, partly because the place is so big, 5,600 square feet.
We are almost done. I'd say within a couple of percent done.
Today, contractors are here cutting tiles for the master bathroom. But Claire says she's been doing many of the other necessary repairs.
I've managed to paint the house, all the rooms. I've put baseboard in. I've learned to use the saw, which I'm very pleased at my age that I finally achieved that skill.
The Venables say they rolled up their sleeves and got to work while waiting on their mortgage company to approve insurance payouts. A slow, circular process, Mark says.
You can't get the money to do the work until the work is at least partially done. Had we had the money, this house would have been finished and on the market in March.
The families decided they're done. Not with Volusia County, at least not yet, but with this house for certain. They're hoping to sell it.
People won't always want to come and buy a house that's flooded. We realize that, so our market's smaller.
Especially since state law now requires sellers to tell buyers about a property's flooding risk, including any past insurance claims filed for flood damage. Flooding damage costs are projected to keep rising in Florida. Climate change is partly to blame, but there's some nuance to it. Florida state climatologist David Zierden has studied all rainfall data captured at the Daytona International Airport going back to 1937. And while there's no real overall trend,
we're seeing more rainfall in the heavier events. And that's very consistent with the theory. A warmer atmosphere can hold more moisture.
Zierden says in the southeastern United States, those warming temperatures coincide with a 37% spike in rain from heavy rain events. On the Venables' sprawling 5-acre lawn, the ground is still drenched, about a week after a rainstorm hit the area.
There's lots of pooled water around, and I've noticed that this time the water hasn't gone down as quickly, which, I have to be honest, it does scare me.
Claire says in the heart of hurricane season in Volusia County, she's filled with a sense of dread.
You know, we want to be able to think about future. We want to think about what's happening in 6 months' time. But right now, we've just got to hopefully get through hurricane season unscathed.
So far, this hurricane season has been quieter than expected. Molly Durig, Central Florida Public Media.
You can hear more about Hurricane Milton's impact on the region on our show, Engage. Get it where you get this podcast. That's it for The Wrap this week. Be sure to subscribe to The Wrap Inbox Edition, delivered to you every Wednesday with top headlines, original reporting, and a handy guide to Central Florida Public Media events. It's the perfect companion to this podcast. Sign up at cfpublic.org/thewrap. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is The Wrap.